of Broadchurch had viewers gripped guessing the identity of a child killer in the midst of a tight-knit rural community in Dorset. The second series 2 years ago explored the emotional aftershocks on the inhabitants as one of their own was put on trial for the murder of schoolboy Danny Latimer. And now comes the third and final season, again written by Chris Chibnall and starring David Tennant and Olivia Colman as detectives Alec Hardy and Ellie Miller. This time the story starts not with a murder but with the immediate aftermath of a rape.
Is she dead? She said anything more?
No, not yet.
I think she can't remember, or she just not want to tell him?
Well, she's still in shock. We've got to give her some time.
We may not have time. If she was attacked by a stranger, other people could be at risk.
All right, I know.
Yeah, take a look at the calendar, just there. If the injuries are 2 days old, it takes you back to Saturday.
Her mate's 50th?
Yeah. Could you explain why she's so reluctant to talk about it?
A local woman, Trish, played brilliantly by Julie Hesmond-Hulsh, has been physically and sexually assaulted at a country house party. She can't remember much of what happened and doesn't know who raped her.
Cast party was Saturday night, it's now Tuesday morning. So what did you do between Saturday night and reporting the attack last night?
I came home.
How did you get home?
Walked.
From where you woke up at the party. But you don't know where that was exactly.
It's by the water.
What sort of water?
Do we have to do this now?
It's okay, you're doing really well.
David, as ever with Broadchurch, I guess you are cloaked in secrecy. The whole project is cloaked in secrecy. I've seen the first episode. Just from your point of view, tonally, how is this different to the first two?
It's different in terms of where the characters are at. It's two policemen who come across a crime, a serious sexual assault. And whereas before, I suppose, the story has been... they've been very personally involved, particularly Olivia Colman's character. This is the two of them working as police officers, and they sort of start from the outside and work into the case. And as ever with Broadchurch, it's examining the kind of emotional fallout of crime as much as it's to do with the whodunit element, which is, you know, a big part of the thriller, the thrill of it, but it's looking at what the crime does to the victims and to the community.
To the community, exactly. It's very much a community piece. But interestingly, the first episode is very focused on the forensics, on the process. This is the aftermath of a serious sexual assault, of a rape. A woman is uncertain as to what has happened. But I thought that was it. There is a gripping and a very disturbing aspect to it as well, because you are honing in very, very clearly and sharply on the procedure.
Absolutely. And that was something that Chris Chibnall, our brilliant writer, researched immaculately and was helped hugely by Dorset Rape Crisis, amongst others. And I think he became very keen to show exactly what happens in that set of circumstances.
And the nature of the crime also highlights the difference between Alec Hardy and Ellie Miller as well. I mean, they are always at odds with each other. She is part of the community. She's more of a touchy-feely type of policewoman. Your character is quite flinty and hard and procedural. But those differences are highlighted because of the nature of the crime, I think.
You gave her your number.
Oh, don't
you
start.
Gave her your number.
So what?
Your personal number.
Yes,
what
did.
Have I told
she
you?
She needed it.
Every time, Miller.
Pardon me for being
human. We investigate
human.
Support services support.
Support services aren't there yet.
Can't keep doing this.
Once before.
Twice before.
Oh, are you keeping count?
Yes.
If I'm so annoying, why did you come back?
Oh, don't stop.
Always having a pop.
There's a protocol.
I did not miss this, you know, when you weren't here. The constant berating.
She can't be ringing you all the time.
She's been raped.
Those two characters are in a slightly different place now as well. They've kind of settled in to the lives they've been dealt, and they're not entirely happy with it, but they have at least come to terms with it. And I think that's reflected in their relationship as well. There's something of the kind of cranky old married couple about them now, you know. But they've also accepted that they are probably the closest thing to best friends either of them are ever going to have. So there's a sort of support group within that.
She's not carrying any ID or a mobile.
So still no surname?
Do you not know her?
It's not Trampton. I don't know everybody.
And there will be people that think a rape, a sexual assault in a crime drama. We see so much of it, although I should point out, we don't see the assault. We see the aftermath, we see the effect, and we see the procedure. What's your response to that?
I think crime drama is always a sort of formula that we understand, that we recognise. I think what Broadchurch did with the death of Daniel Latimer in the original series was looked at it from a slightly broader perspective. As you've said, the perspective of the community, what a serious crime actually does to people in a small town. And the legacy of that as well. I mean, the legacy of Danny's death is still felt now in series three, even though we're several years later. And we're still following Danny's parents' story as well. And of course, that's, you know, you're never going to get over the murder of a child. And neither, I think, does the community. So that's still absolutely acknowledged, as is this terrible crime happening and what that does and how that makes people suspicious of each other and how that makes people feel threatened. And what Chris has always done in writing Broadchurch is try to honour the reality of crime, as well as presenting something that is a story that will grip you.
I presume, as with the first two series, the usual Chris Chibnall rules apply. On, you know, in terms of the actors' need-to-know basis when you're given the scripts, who knows what? I mean, it's very striking, last time we spoke, at the beginning of Series 2, looking back to Series 1, and you said that nobody knew whether they were the murderer or not. And that presented a really interesting dynamic from your point of view, from Alec Hardy's point of view, because it was as if, you know, you were investigating. You were talking to these actors who themselves didn't know whether they had done it or not.
Yes. I sought clarity that it wasn't me. You know, because I guess there's always that plot twist that you don't see
coming.
That
would have been a bit silly, though.
Well, yes, but you just, you know, as long as I could be certain of that, then actually, from an acting point of view, it's hugely liberating, because every interrogation scene, you are genuinely trying to get to the truth, and you have no idea when you're being lied to.
How did you get to the police station tonight? Walk. Drive.
I'm sorry.
You don't have anything to be sorry about.
It was very late on that we discovered what the truth was.
And what about the secrecy on set and all of the kind of the passwords that you have to type in?
Yes, well, of course, now that scripts get sent out electronically, it affords production companies new magical devices for shielding them from supposed piracy or, I don't know, hacking by the Kremlin. I'm not sure what they were expecting was going to happen, but it does mean that as an actor you have passwords for this bit, the password for the script, and then password for the script changes, and you're not allowed to select your own password. So I just would find myself on a regular basis phoning the production office going, I can't remember what my number is, what my name is. You're just going to have to send me something on paper, I'm afraid. I realise that's bad, but there's something about learning lines on a screen, I can't just do it.
And Broadchurch is another name for West Bay in Dorset.
Yes.
That community doubles up for fictional Broadchurch.
Yes.
So I guess
only in part.
Well, I guess it's an amalgamation of several places around there.
It is. There's Clevedon in Bristol, which is Broadchurch High Street, which is really quite far away from.
Right.
But
it's identified by the cliffs. Those cliffs at West Bay.
The Jurassic coastline.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Just down from Bridport.
Yes.
It's an area that many people will know well.
Indeed.
And so when you were there filming the first season, I guess the locals were thinking, oh, there's some TV drama. And then maybe the word went round that, oh, David Tennant's in it. Season two, largely in court, there weren't so many location shots, but now you are back on the high street and the beach and the cliff tops. I guess that must have been pretty difficult because you're filming in spring and the summer and the tourists are out.
Yes.
So how did that affect production?
You know, it's always something that's there when you're filming on location, if anything, because people are curious when they see cameras and you know, television drama doesn't travel light. It moves into town like a charabang and people are aware of it, especially in somewhere like West Bay. It's hard to hide the 140 members of a crew. There's curiosity, and that can get difficult when people are trying to, especially if the scene has a thriller element that you might be wanting to keep under wraps. But it would be impolite to complain about people being enthusiastic about seeing the show back.
And this is billed as the third and final season of Broadchurch. Why is it the last?
I think there are a number of reasons. I think Chris Chibnall always imagined it was a three-story show. He's got rather a big new job at the BBC, so he's going to be busy.
Show running Doctor Who.
He is, yes. I believe he started. So he's not really available, apart from anything else, but that was already the intention. I think, you know, we could have kept coming back for the next 20 years, but it's been very loyal to the veracity of these crimes happening.
And it's not Midsummer Murders,
is it? It's not Midsummer Murders. Great show, though, that is. It's a different type of show.
There's only so much crime can happen in one place.
Exactly. It's a small town. The very fact that this isn't another murder, I think, it speaks to the kind of plausibility of that. If season three had started with another body on the same beach, I think you might have been thinking, is that really very likely?
And yeah, so it's a series which does not start with the body on the beach, but Alec Hardy, of course, is a man with a dodgy ticker.
Yeah.
It's a series which could end with a dead body.
Well, you know...
Maybe that's the reason why it is the last
season. It's the third and final series, and I won't be drawn on what happens in episode eight, obviously. No.
Chris Chibnall, as you say there, is heading off to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Another programme that you know very well. Yeah. Has he counselled your opinion?
We've chatted about it because, you know, he worked on Doctor Who when I was there. He wrote one of my episodes. So we've known each other and been associated with that show together for a long time. So it would be hard to avoid it.
But do you feel proprietorial about it? I mean, you know, having been one of only so many Doctors over the last 50 years.
As someone who grew up as a fan of the show, I feel proprietorial about it. You know, I think, as does Chris himself, he grew up a huge Doctor Who fan. The very magic of that show was part of what inspired him to get into this industry, as it was for me. So I feel loyal to it, fascinated by it, curious about it, obviously. And yes, it will be forever a massive part of my life, professionally and personally. So
you haven't said to him, take it in this direction, or don't do that, whatever you do? Or...
Oh, no, I would never proffer advice. I would only want to know what his plans are. You know,
he must have suggested possible doctors. I mean, Olivia Colman's time has come.
It's reported that I've said she should do it next. I really haven't. I will not be drawn. I mean, Olivia would be magnificent, of course, but it's really not for me to decide where that goes.
It doesn't have to be a man, though, of course, does it?
It doesn't have to be a man, no.
Should it be a woman, do you think, next time?
It's the up to Chris to find who he wants, and I'm not going to get drawn into some headline where I'm professing it should go in one way or another.
Tight-lipped David Tennant. Series 3 of Broadchurch starts on Monday night on ITV at 9 o'clock. And stay tuned for more David Tennant at the end of this programme when I mumble him a question about the clarity of television drama dialogue. Now,